All right, open your Bibles, if you would, please, with me to the book of Judges, chapter 2, the book of Judges, chapter 2. Judges follows the book of Joshua. Judges, chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 of this chapter. Have you got it? Judges chapter 2. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Now I'm in verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Before I go any further, let me just read a brief commentary from Matthew Henry. As you know, we have the Matthew Henry study Bibles available. We have some at the table today. We don't always have them because it's so hard keeping them in stock. So many people order them constantly. But we do have them at the table today, and we do have them online. And so if you do not have a Matthew Henry study Bible, I hope that you'll get that. I had a lot of people ask me what Bible study or what Bible I could recommend as a study Bible, and I wasn't able to recommend one because they're all promoting Christian Zionism. And so we lobbied the publisher of the Matthew Henry study Bible for a year, and finally they let us be a distributor, and we've been a distributor now for about a year. And so if you don't have a Matthew Henry Study Bible, we do have those. They're available on our store at libertyfellowshipmt.com. So this is from Matthew Henry's commentary. I think it's worthy of noting. Here observe the instruments of their deliverance. God did not send angels from heaven to rescue them, nor bring in any foreign power to their aid, but raised up judges from among themselves, as there was occasion, men to whom God gave extraordinary qualifications for, and calls to that special service of which they were designed, which was to reform and deliver Israel, and whose great attempts he crowned with wonderful success. The Lord was with the judges when he raised them up, and so they became saviors. Observe, number one, in the days of the greatest degeneracy and distress of the church, there shall be some whom God will either find to make to redress its grievances and set things to rights. Number two, God must be acknowledged in the seasonable rising up of useful men for public service. He endues men with wisdom and courage, gives them hearts to act and venture. I really like that. He gives them hearts to act and venture. All that are in any way the blessings of their country must be looked upon as the gifts of God. Amen to that. People that are truly blessings to their country are gifts of God. Number three, whom God calls, he will own and give them his presence. Whom he raises up, he will be with them. Matthew Henry on some of the passage that we just read. Let me start my remarks by saying that the Romans 13ers, you like that word? The Romans 13ers need to tear the book of Judges out of their Bibles. For God himself raised up judge after judge after judge to lead armed rebellion against those oppressive governments that had enslaved God's people. And as it so happens, I have a DVD with four messages on the true meaning of Romans 13. Outside of Genesis 12:3, there's probably no other scripture verse in the entire Bible that is more misinterpreted than Romans chapter 13 in the first few verses. And this has caused havoc and distress among our nation, untold, unbeknown to all of us. The depth of horror, literally, that has been thrust upon America because of the misteaching of Romans chapter 13. And there's still preachers out there on the internet and on television and radio that continue to regurgitate this obey the government no matter what indoctrination, devilish indoctrination of Christian people. And it's one of the things that has helped to take people, Christian people, who were at one time courageous champions of freedom, and has turned them into sheepish slaves of the state. And Romans 13 and the bad interpretation of that passage is a principal reason why. That's why we have that four message series. But the Bible says in verse 18 of the chapter that we read, the Lord was with the judge. The Lord was with the judge. That means when Ehud assassinated King Eglon, the Lord was with the judge. When Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, the Lord was with the judge. When Heber's wife, Jael, took a hammer and nail and drove it through the skull of King Jabin's general, Sisera, the Lord was with the judge. When Gideon smote the Midianites, the Lord was with the judge. When Jephthah destroyed the Moabites, the Lord was with the judge. When Samson slaughtered the Philistines, the Lord was with the judge. And each time the Lord raised up a judge, he used that judge to lead a successful rebellion against an oppressive government and to bring the nation of Israel into a state of independence and peace. Notice a state of independence and peace. Without national independence, there is only oppression and servitude. This is one of the natural laws of God. Our founding fathers understood it. That's why they put this principle into our Constitution. The principle of independent, sovereign nationhood is a natural law of God. The goal of globalists has always been to dismantle America's sovereignty and independence. I'm going to give you some information that I have given this audience before, but it's been, when I check my notes, it's been at least 5 years since I've given you this information. So I want to give it to you again, because this is the kind of information that we need to rehearse ever so often. One of the organizations that is at the forefront of promoting the globalist agenda is the Council on Foreign Relations, otherwise known as the CFR. I have in times past shown how the CFR dominates the presidencies of Republican and Democrat administrations, as well as the Federal Reserve. You realize, do you not, that there were more CFR members in Donald Trump's administration than there were in Barack Obama's administration. So this idea that there's a huge difference between the parties when it comes to the presidency is very overrated. The same CFR globalists that control one party control the other party. I would even go so far as to say that the CFR is a very clear and present danger to the sovereignty and independence of the United States. The American people need to wake up to the fact that the international banking interests and that dominate our political and financial entities are working tirelessly to see an end to nationhood. And that seeing into nationhood is a quote from one of the major CFR members. I am talking about the Rothschilds, the Warburgs of Europe, the houses of J.P. Morgan, Kuhn, Loeb, Schiff, Lehman, and Rockefeller. Just so that you know, I am talking about specifics and not just generalities. Rear Admiral Chester Ward, who was the Judge Advocate General of the Navy, was a former member of the CFR who pulled out of that dastardly organization after realizing what they were all about. He then set out to warn the American people about the dangers of this and similar organizations, such as the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers. He said, and this is a quote from Rear Admiral Chester Ward, "The most powerful clique in these elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States. A second clique of international members in the CFR comprises the Wall Street international bankers and their key agents. Primarily, they want the world banking monopoly from whatever power ends up in control of the global government." It doesn't really matter who the political powers are, as long as you control the banking economic systems, you're in charge. Whoever controls the purse strings controls. Admiral Ward also said, quote, "The main purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations is promoting the disarmament of U.S. sovereignty and national independence and submergence into an all-powerful one-world government." Close quote. Rear Admiral Chester Ward. Here is a sample of the notable dignitaries who hold or held membership in the CFR or TC, Trilateral Commission, sometimes both. George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, Democrat, Republican, CFR, CFR. Sandra Day O'Connor, Dick Cheney, Les Aspin, Colin Powell, Robert Gates, Brent Scowcroft, Jesse Jackson Sr., Mario Cuomo, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, David Brinkley, John Chancellor, Marvin Kalb, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, Cyrus Vance, Paul Volcker, Henry Kissinger, no kidding, George Shultz, Alan Greenspan, Madeleine Albright, Roger Altman, Bruce Babbitt, Howard Baker, Samuel Berger, Dianne Feinstein, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Chuck Hagel, Gary Hart, John McCain, George Mitchell, Bill Moyers, Jay Rockefeller, Donna Shalala, Strobe Talbert, Fred Thompson, Robert Zoellick, Richard Nixon, Hubert Humphrey, George McGovern, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, John Anderson, Walter Mondale, Michael Dukakis, Al Gore, John Kerry, Elaine Chao, wife of Senator Mitch McConnell, Gary Cohn, Judge Neil Gorsuch, General James Mattis, K.T. McFarland, General Herbert McMaster, Steve Mnuchin, Rick Perry, Wilbur Ross, Patrick Shanahan, Rex Tillerson, Jack Welch, Heather Ann Wilson, and Rick Warren. For the sake of liberty in this country, we need to rid ourselves of the propensity to support those who classify themselves as conservatives, and we must stop blindly supporting the GOP because it is a conservative party if they do not understand and oppose the globalist agenda. They do not deserve our support or our vote. You notice the list was split almost right down the middle between Republicans and Democrats. Furthermore, let me say this because of what we're reading in the news today. Russia is not our problem. Ukraine is not our problem. Our problem is the men in the pulpits of America who won't speak the truth of God out of fear or desire for self-promotion, and the so-called Christians in the pews who support these men in the pulpits who won't speak the truth of God. That is our principal problem. In our text, Judges 2, 14 and 15, "And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and the Lord had sworn unto them. They were greatly distressed." There is not an enemy that can defeat us when God is pleased to protect us. And there is no protection if God is pleased to give us over to our enemies. It's not our military power. It's not our economic wealth. It is God's hand of providential protection that allows any nation to remain free and independent. We need the protective hand of Almighty God more than we need the Air Force, the Marines, the Army, the sailors, and the Coast Guard. I'm not saying that armed self-defense is not necessary. It certainly is. It's necessary not only for a nation, but it's necessary for an individual and for families and for communities. But what I'm saying is without the protective hedge of God, all of these physical power structures are of no avail. As the book of Judges clearly and plainly shows us over and over and over again. When the children of Israel obeyed God and served him, he protected them and delivered them and gave them peace and independence. When they turned from God and stirred his anger, he raised up enemies to bring them into subjection and tyranny. And that process is repeated over and over and over throughout the book of Judges, and by the way, throughout the entire history of the human race. The next principal problem, outside of the cowardly pulpits and the people that support them, are the people who refuse to acknowledge and deal with the neocon Zionist New World Order globalists. I hear these conservative Christians moan and groan about the bent of the nation towards globalism. And at the same time, they cheerfully, enthusiastically support and promote one of the main entities that is seeking to implement the globalist government over the United States, the Zionist agenda. That's why I wrote in my syndicated column this week, are conservatives schizophrenic? It's a good question. Whenever you do something and say something that tends to give you the impression that you believe a certain way and you have a certain conviction, and then you turn around and you support the people who are working adamantly, wholeheartedly, and even publicly to destroy the things that you just said you support and to which you have convictions, there's only one explanation for that. You're schizophrenic. What in the world is wrong with you? If you truly believe the things over here that you say you believe, the things that are important, the things that you say are your convictions, you will not turn around and support the people that are trying to destroy the things that you say are so important. What in the world is wrong with you? Again, I want to say this time for the sake of this message, if you have not yet watched the third message in my prophecy series, God's Chosen People, the Children of Promise, the Israel of God in Romans chapter 11. Oh, folks, you got to watch this message. You cannot watch this message without, in your heart of hearts, realizing that you have been sold a pack of lies by the Christian Zionist establishment, which includes most of the radio and television broadcasts, religious I'm talking about, includes most of the colleges, universities, and seminaries. It includes the vast majority of the Baptist, Charismatic, and Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, all versions of Bible churches, these, especially those denominations, there's others, but especially in those, and I can speak from experience because I came out of the Baptist denomination. And I can tell you from personal practical experience that they inundate their people with the doctrines of Schofield Futurism, a.k.a. Christian Zionism. When you hear that message and the scripture to support it, it's inundated with the Word of God, you're going to see and recognize you've been lied to. You're going to recognize that the Scofield Reference Bible is propaganda to teach Christian people a lie in order that they might support and succumb to that draconian, devilish movement of globalistic Zionism, which, by the way, is exactly what our preachers and Christians are doing today. It's been an extremely effective strategy, a genius strategy, orchestrated by, in my opinion, the devil himself, to fool and to beguile the people of the Lord. Always remember that the primary goal of globalists is perpetual war and conflict. I posted to my website, chuckbaldwinlive.com, an article written just a few days ago by attorney John Whitehead that is really excellent. And he, on that very point, that the goal of globalists is perpetual war and conflict. And he goes into great detail to describe that position. And if you get a chance, go to my webpage and read that article by John Whitehead. It's worth the read. It is no coincidence, brothers and sisters, it is no coincidence that the storm clouds of war are building now. The timing is not mere happenstance. When one national fear begins to subside, globalists must create a new fear to terrorize the people with. The only way they can accomplish their draconian, devilish agenda is to keep people in a conditional, in an unconditional state of fear. So if it's not one type of fear, then that when that begins to subside and people begin to regain confidence and lose the fear of whatever it was, they have to create another fear to keep the people in bondage. This isn't in my notes, but let me tell you. Our State Department and the globalists in the Department of Defense have for years been goading and prodding foreign nations. We have over 600 military installations in 130 nations around the country. If you get a map and you put a dot everywhere there's a U.S. military installation around the world, it will shock you. How would we react if Russia or China built major military installations just across our border in Canada or in Mexico? What would be our reaction to that? Some of us are old enough to remember the angst and the anxiousness of the country whenever it was discovered that there was a missile base in Cuba. One missile base in Cuba, 90 miles south of the tip of Florida. And the nation went berserk when that was discovered. Can you imagine if we had dozens and scores of military bases from China and Russia and North Korea and any other country, name it, all around the borders of the United States? How would we react? And yet we've been doing that for decades as if, well, we're the United States, so we can do this and you just have to accept it. We're the exceptional nation. We have surreptitiously sent clandestine terror groups into countries that we don't like to try and destabilize the population. We have murdered heads of state of foreign countries. We were the ones and the Mossad that financed ISIS. And then we murdered the man who single-handedly did the most to defeat ISIS, Iran's General Soleimani. We have interfered in foreign governments all over the world. And then we get righteously indignant if we perceive anything amiss from another country regarding the United States. I say to you now, and I love this country, and I love America, and I love the Constitution, and I love the principles upon which this country was built. I have a message entitled, "I'm a Constitutionalist, Not an Anarchist." And I go into the details of what I love about our Constitution and the genius that it was that birthed the principles for freedom in this country. Someone years ago said, "My country, right or wrong?" And you hear that a lot, right? My country, right or wrong. But the rest of it says, my country, right or wrong, if right, to keep it right, if wrong, to make it right. The United States needs to make a lot of things right. We desperately need for God to raise up spiritual judges in America. Not judges of war, but judges of the Word of God. As God raised up judges for Israel in the book that we read from, we desperately need God to raise up spiritual judges to proclaim the truth of the Word of God to this nation. Rise up, O Christian judge, and resist the Zionist CFR globalists with courage, determination, and the truth of God's holy word. Rise up, O Christian judge. Rise up, young people. God can use young people as well as he can older people. Rise up, pastor. Rise up, attorney. Rise up, physician, businessman, blue-collar worker, educator, journalist, musician, artist. We need men and women of God in all walks of life, regardless of your age. Don't say you're too young or too old. Don't say that. No matter what your age, there's something you can do that other ages cannot do. Young people can do things that older people can't do. Older people can do things that younger people cannot do. Maybe not physically. There's advantages to every station of life. As we grow old, there are things that we accumulate that can be used of God. And when we're young, even though we don't have experience, we have zeal and ideals and strength and stamina. No matter what your age, God can use you if you are willing to stand up, regardless of your health. I know that I'm talking to people out there that are suffering with physical ailments of all kinds. And I know some of you are thinking, because you are ill, And you don't have the strength that you used to have. You don't have the health that you used to have. And sometimes you wonder, well, what good am I? What can I accomplish? When I was younger, I could do this and I could do that. But now I don't have that ability. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what your physical condition. There is something. There is something you can do to stand up for truth. Let me give an example. Back in my first pastorate in Florida, I won a man to the Lord who was a total cripple. He had no functionality of his members at all. Wheelchair bound, totally dependent upon loved ones for food, nourishment, daily care, hygiene, etc. He was literally helpless. I won that young man to the Lord. When he got saved, he was determined that he was going to be a witness for the Lord. So even though he couldn't walk, he wasn't mobile at all, confined to the house unless someone drove him somewhere. But you know what? He had an antenna above his house to a ham radio. The antenna reached like the Tower of Babel into the heavens. I'm kidding, it was just tall. It was big. It had a huge outreach. He lived right off of Interstate 10, which is the southern interstate that goes all the way from Los Angeles, California to Jacksonville, Florida. He lived just a few hundred yards off of I-10. His antenna would reach I-10 traffic east and west for miles. I don't remember the young man's real name, but I've never forgotten his handle, his CB handle, which is also ham radio. He had both. Possum Trot. That was his name. Rick out there in the hallway, he might know the guy. Possum Trot. After he got saved, he turned that microphone and that antenna into a lighthouse for the truth of God's word. He would get on that radio and he would tell people about the Lord all day long. He would talk to truckers. He would talk to people in their cars. I mean, for miles. And after that, I'm telling you the truth, it was hardly ever a time you could go to his house during the daytime when there was not either some cars or trucks sitting out front of his little old country house to come in and talk to him. That young man could not walk. He had no mobility. He was totally paralyzed, and he became a dynamic lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's something you can do no matter what condition you are in. Ask God for what he would have you to do, and he'll lay it on your heart, and you can do it. Regardless of your education, of your station in life, or your talents, or the lack of them, no matter who you are, where you are, there is something you can do. You can be a spiritual judge and stand up and help deliver this country from the enemy. My beloved, let God use you as a light and a leader of truth. Liberty Fellowship, let's let God use us. Let's stand for prayer.